It's 52 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of October, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live, my friends, from the plushly appointed yet notably ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is your Rick Emerson radio program. It is Wednesday. Thank you for being there. It's 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday, right? Yes. Wednesday is what it is. That is what today is. It's Wednesday. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I got the whole thing. We're all week. I've been one day off because I'm not going to be here on Friday. And today, though, is Wednesday. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to engage with us on today's radio program. And why wouldn't you, my friends? You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I've been forbidden by Sarah Dillon to continue the female celebrities who should never have a Hollywood love scene contest over to today, even though I have nothing with which to replace it. I have no Star Wars giveaway contest with which to replace this competition. That is your loss. You have Sarah Dillon to blame for that.
What did I do?
You forbade me from carrying over the female celebrity contest today. Because we have...
Oh.
Because there were 10, and people only got 1, 2, 3, and you were one of those people. You got the Star Jones. Joan Rivers, Oprah, Kathy Bates, Whoopi Goldberg. Those were the other... Fully half of these have not been guessed. Well, I'll put it right here. We'll talk about my aborted attempt to come up with another Star Wars game. My aborted attempt to do all things Star Wars. Not that I'm bitter about it. Man, I'll talk about all that in a second. Anywho, it's 503. Do you ever go to write any coup in an email and then you can't remember or figure out really how to spell that? Because A-N-Y...
Why would you write any who?
To be kooky. A-N-Y-W-H-O seems incorrect somehow. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for that little bit. Really? All right. Let's... Don't... You can't just type the phrase, take it. Take it now. Take it like a man on the screen, Scotty. That seems all like we're having a schvitz together or something. Scott, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Emerson, I'm going to get right to the point, kidding aside. We need to get Mailman Chris back on the air.
And that's because why?
Because the show just, the first part of it, it makes no sense now. I mean, it didn't make sense before.
Thank you.
But now you, I mean, at least you had some order in the whole deal. You know, you'd call in and you'd hear the sounder and you'd be like pumped up, you know, hear what's going on today.
And so you feel like the structure that you have come to crave in the opening Emerson segment is now gone. It's been ripped away from you like a fetus from the womb.
Right. Now it's just you talking about an email of any who or something like that.
That's really what I was doing before. The only difference is that Chris was there to be writing my crap down. So that's
right. Well,
that's really,
to, you know, yeah.
My question is then, Scott, are you volunteering to be the new Chris? He who complains. Look, you can either be part of the problem, you can be part of the solution, my friend.
Hey, I will be part of the solution, Mr. Emerson.
All right. So are you offering to be the new Chris?
I can try my best.
No. You can't call up and just blindly hurl criticism and then bring nothing to the table with which to solve the problem.
Well, I don't want to try to solve the problem and then make a problem because I can't listen to the show all the time.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure I can do it, though.
You're pretty sure?
I'm fairly sure.
You know, there is no, you know, try not. Do or do not. There is no try, Scott.
All right, let's do it then.
All right. Why wouldn't you be able to do it?
Keeping
in mind, of course, Scott, it is a poor workman who blames his tools, okay?
Oh, well, I'm a chem tech. I test metal for airplane parts.
Chem tech?
Yeah, chemical technician.
Oh, chem tech. All right, and so you do what? What do you do?
I test metal for airplane parts, like, you know, the turbines for jet engines?
Yeah.
I'm testing that metal to make sure that it's up to spec so that planes will not fall out of the sky.
Let me ask you this question. I have a question. Do you know, I have a question about how turbines work. Do you know anything about how they work? Because I have a specific question about this.
I know some.
Do you have a general idea, more than a layman's knowledge, you would say, about how airplane turbines function?
Sort of. Sure. Just give me the questions. See what we got.
Okay. I got two questions. A, because here's a thing that I've just been blindly repeating on the air for years, and it might in fact just be made up. But I've heard from several people, actually, one of whom was, he was only a mechanic. I mean, he was like a kind of a grunt mechanic. But I heard that there are large sections of airplane wing held together with Velcro. Is that true to the best of your knowledge? Because, no, and I'll tell you why. Because the theory was that unlike a bolt, which becomes loose, looser the more it rattles, Velcro becomes tighter the more it rattles. That is a scientific fact. So I didn't know if it was true, though, that they held airplane wings together with Velcro.
I'm not sure specifically Velcro, but I do know that they have, like, this may make it sound safe, but I know they have, like, a tape that they use in some spots of the plane.
All right, okay.
To hold stuff together.
All right. So. Secondly, my question about turbines on airplanes is this. Propsman Scott, as Scotty J has named you. Does a turbine work basically like a propeller in that it spins very fast and then those angular curved blades just pull in the air and shoot it out the back in a concentrated stream? Is it basically a highly focused kind of propeller?
Yeah, for the most part.
All right. See, I figured that out my own self. All right. I've always...
You are a genius.
No. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. He's trying to get back in my good graces. Oh, is this mailman Chris? All right. Scott, don't go anywhere. I want you to hang on there. Let me give you a little bit of the structure you crave.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
All right. Chris, hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, well, you know, the people are speaking, my friend.
Shouldn't you be working?
If you can hear me all right, I've got it on speakerphone, and I am most certainly working.
Are you actually at work?
I am.
Now, I thought that... Okay, look, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I was... Why are you waving your hand? Wait, it's a secret. He's on the radio. Sarah's waving her hand at me. Everybody...
He's working.
Okay, but, I mean, is this okay? I don't want to get you in trouble. You've had a bad week.
You know what? Damn the man.
You know what that is? That's the voice and attitude of a person who cannot be fired because he's got a government job.
You're damn right.
All right. So, well, Propsman Scott, it was dangled in front of you and then it was snatched away. Now, Scott, would you like to be, because that, what's her name, Mary? Carrie? Zary? Whatever her name was, the girl who was going to fill in for Chris last week. We apparently scared her, and she went away. She quit calling. So, Scott, would you like to be the backup stenographer of the show in the absence of Chris?
You bet.
All right. So I'll tell you what, Scott. I'm going to put you on. I'm going to brush aside your various cruel comments that you made at the beginning of the program about the entertainment value of me, Rick Emerson.
Constructive criticism, Rick.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J will get your contact info, and we will make you the backup stenographer. Okay.
All right, badass.
All right, Chris, I believe you've added another person to your entourage today.
Excellent.
Okay.
You're going to have to start introducing me as the man you all come to see.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
All right, there you go. That's Scott. All right, Chris, see how easy it is. Suddenly those rules seem a little bendable. As soon as it looks like somebody might be replaced, suddenly those rules are just suggestions, aren't they, Chris?
I didn't realize people really wanted me on the air that badly.
No, I think it really is. Anything that makes me talk less, I think, is what people are a fan of. They're in favor of anything that reduces the amount of. I'm like an especially strong basil leaf inside your Thai pepper steak. You know, you like it there, but you realize that a little bit of it goes a long way. Really, I am just sort of the mortar between the bricks on this program. Here's what we've got today, Chris. We're going to talk about Sarah Dillon, parties like a rock star. We have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian on later today. He's going to be talking to us at 2:35 about great shows that are destined to be canceled. I think we have no choice but to plunge back into this female celebrity thing, only because I have nothing else prepared with which to give away these Star Wars tickets, and I'm fantastically unimaginative in all ways. We're going to do 2 days in a row. Two! In a row, where we do a top five. That's what I'm talking about. We did one yesterday. Today, bam, another one. What else? Gary Baumgartner's going to be here. He'll yell about North Korea. What else? Ed McCarthy about voting in New Orleans. I don't even understand. This is a thing I'm legitimately fascinated by because I don't understand how they vote in New Orleans because it's... Nobody lives there. They're all living in the Houston somewhere, in Barbara Bush's house. So I don't know how that works. So McCarthy will be here. Lisa Goddard will talk about Mark Foley and Kim Jong-il, who's crazy. We have that. Tim Riley, what watches will we foolishly tease today?
Snuff watch.
It's a great snuff watch, too. And not that I'm glad that he's dead, but it is interesting.
Darwin Watch and what's happening at CBS.
Darwin Watch and what's happening at the Columbia Broadcasting Systems. I think that's it. That's what we got, my friend. So there you go. Are you ready? You prepared? You locked? You loaded?
I think so. I've got Sarah parties like a rock star, Peter Carlin, The nude celebrities, or celebrities you don't want to see with a nude scene.
Yes.
Top five, Jerry Baumgarten, Ed McCarthy, Lisa Goddard, Stopwatch, Darwin Watch, and What's Happening at CBS.
That is what I'm saying, my friend, and we will check in with you at the end of the program, and I will push up for each item not gotten to.
Yeah, how many was it that you did the other night?
You know, the other day, I did five. I did five the other day. It was the day that your house got robbed, and so I wanted to make everybody feel a little bit better.
Excellent. All right, so 52 plus
2, 54, 49. Excellent. Fantastic. All right, 49. It's dropping. The tote board is dropping. Thank you, Chris.
All right, talk to you three.
All right, there you go. That's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Idolized by millions. It's 503-733-2. Oh, I should have asked him if they caught. Well, of course they didn't catch the guy. He would have volunteered that, Scotty. Don't be cruel. Rub salt into the thieving wounds. No, if they caught the guy, he would tell us they're not going to catch the guy. It happened in... They never catch anything in Southeast. The only way they can ever catch anything in Southeast is if it's taken elsewhere. Both times that my truck has been stolen, they found it, but it is somewhere else. They don't ever find it there. All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon. How are you feeling today?
I'm all right.
Late night?
Yes.
Yeah. Killers?
Yes.
We will not reveal any sort of details that it would be inappropriate to reveal, but you're people who knows people.
Yes.
Way more so than I am.
No, it's really, yeah, it was really interesting.
Did you know that it's a guy?
My friend is the tour manager for the Killers, and he hung out with Lindsay Lohan the other day.
Oh, see, now...
Now you can't tell the story.
No, why did you, see, why
because
did you do
I
that?
Because I promised him I wouldn't.
I was going to tell the story, but I was going to say...
I know you were.
I was going to claim that I read it on, like, Perez Hilton. I was going to claim that it's from a blog. Now I... Oh,
well, it is. It's on a ton of blogs.
There you go.
I've never looked it up before.
You know what? I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to read it off a blog.
Okay.
I'm going to read it off a blog, and you know what? That has nothing to do with your friend and the Killers who may or may not spend time with Lindsay.
It was crazy. So I'm hanging out with him last night, and she was text messaging him.
No.
Yes.
Was your girl? No.
I know.
Were you tempted to grab the phone and get her number?
I totally wanted to.
When he wasn't looking, you totally should have.
I should have.
Been
he hangs like
my
manager.
My phone is dead. Can
he
I
doesn't
use
let
yours?
Go of that BlackBerry. It's just firmly placed in
But
his
you
hand.
Totally could have done the whole, like, my phone seems to be dead. Tour manager killer's guy. Can I use your phone?
Damn it.
I've done, let me just tell you this. You can't really do this anymore because of the way the phone system, because we don't, and Tom Likas has talked about this, we don't really have a phone here. Like it's not like your Earth phones. It's just like a box. It looks like the one Larry King uses. It looks like a little bit, it looks kind of like a little calculator. That's kind of what our phone looks like. But back in the day when we would have, like, regular phones into the studios, I would always star 69 every guest we had. Doesn't matter, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, bam, star 69. So I could, and it was usually just a hotel switchboard. But every now and again, I would be able to, and so I used to have a little, not a little black book, but, you know, like a little Rolodex where I would keep celebrity. Because you don't, that you, now is he, would you say that he is the biggest celebrity that you have? Because I don't really have anybody. Do you have any celebrities in your, do you have the phone numbers of anybody that would impress us?
No.
Do you know, you don't know the personal numbers of anybody impressive? Well, I mean, the Killers guy, that's cool. We have Storm. So I have.
Storm, Art Alexakis, that's it.
did you read
very
the,
impressive.
Oh, God, did you read the, I don't want to talk about it. Nope. I'm going to pull myself back. Because you know what? There's no reason to talk about Art Alexakis and the new Everclear album at this point. I'm not going to, I'm going to throttle back is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to discuss the one line review that the Rolling Stone gave me.
Oh.
I'm not going to repeat that. Because it would be unnecessarily cruel.
My night ended up, because we left at 3, so Amanda and I are stuck downtown walking across the Burnside Bridge, like stepping over homeless people at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Amanda... Okay, I always get Amanda and Heather confused. Heather moved to Canada.
Yes, Amanda has the short black
Amanda
hair and
the with
tattoos.
The sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why. You know what it is? It's because the first time I met Heather, I called her Amanda by mistake, and she, like, yelled at me about it. And so now in my head, it's had the opposite effect where they're fused together forever. And I always have to do it like, I got to learn, like, a mnemonic device for that. So Heather, Canada, history. History, because she's a history major. History, Heather, H, Heather, history. Not, I mean, she lives in Canada. I guess it's pointless now. It's moot. These things bother me. Well, whatever. We'll get these calls here in a moment. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification at the AM 970 Ministry of Truth.
We have no plans to attack North Korea, says the president. Could 655,000 Iraqis actually have been killed in their war? Mel Gibson claims he's been clean and sober for 65 days. Uh-huh. 300 monkeys have been banished from New Delhi due to bad behavior.
Fantastic. All of that is coming up, plus several watches and so forth. What are these people calling about? Just random things. Do we have... Well, we'll have to get Scotty J in here in a little while to talk about this Star Wars giveaway, too. Is Star Wars... I don't get into the whole thing. But a Star Wars exhibit, see, because the perks are really far and few between. Not that we don't get any, but I mean, there is a radio food chain like any kind of other, like any in any industry, there is a sort of hierarchy of cool. We are somewhere near the bottom there. So, we don't really get all the perks that say, the Bob Millers of the world. I don't get a billboard where I'm nude. My big shiny bald head isn't like looming over suburbia on a billboard. But we have these. Well, maybe there's tickets to go see the Star Wars thing at OMSI last night. And because it opens to the public on the 21st, that's what we're giving the tickets away for. There was a press screening last night. There was one at 10 a.m., which obviously I wasn't able to go to. And then there was one at 5 p.m., which I told, I'd RSVP'd. There was going to be food, even. Food there was. And I wasn't able to go, and I wasn't able to get it because it was date night, and so I had to see, because I've been all busy for the last few days, and then I'm going to be gone, I'm going to be, out of town for like 3 days. And so I'm not complaining, because I love my wife, and love to spend time with her, but I realized too late that it just conflicted with the Star Wars thing. And so at about 5:15, I was just sadly looking at the clock and realizing I was never able to go. And I was totally zen with it. I was zen with the fact that I was not going to be able to go to the OMSI Star Wars thing last night, because like you sometimes do, with an event that you are not able to attend, in my head, I had scaled it down and made it into this tiny thing that couldn't play. It's probably just cardboard cutouts. What could I see there that I can't see at a Spencer's Gifts? And so I come in today, and John and company from KUPL, Director John and Jake Rick, they were talking about it. Oh, it was fantastic. You got to sit on a life-size Millennium Falcon. It's built to scale. And then they simulate making the jump into hyperdrive, to hyperspace. And it's all, apparently it's like the biggest, coolest, best thing in the history of the world. So now I gotta go stand in line with the rabble. That's what I have to do. Stand in line like a commoner to see it. And Aaron, it did not help, by the way, that Aaron text messaged me from the Star Wars thing last night. It's like, they're, hot geek girls and Star Wars stuff and free food. It's the best night of my life. Anyway, let's get these. Then we'll quickly talk about how we're going to give away the Star Wars tickets today. We'll break coming up later on this hour. Lisa Goddard, this is Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Richard, how you doing? Listen, Bush is doing a live conference right now, and I managed to catch it for you.
I thought it was over. Like it. Wasn't it like at 8?
No, he's doing another one about the budget.
Hurrah, lucky me.
Yeah, get the time machine running. Here we go.
I'm sorry?
Listen up. I got it right here.
This morning, my administration released the budget numbers for fiscal 2006. Budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
February the 30th?
Did you get that?
February the 30th?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
I can run it back for you.
Hey, Scotty, why don't you shut your hole? That is funny.
That is funny.
Scotty is typing on the screen, oh, callers with sound, brilliant, gripping radio.
Scotty doesn't get it.
Why don't you keep your observations to yourself for a while? Okay, can you play that again?
Yes, I can. Give me a second, do a little bit of chit-chat, and I'll get right with you.
Where are you playing that from, sir?
Off the TV, T-Bone.
All right, okay. So I'll tell you what, what we'll do is when you get ready to play that, let us know, and we will drop our audio.
Got it right now.
And so we'll, all right.
Release the budget numbers for fiscal 2006. These budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
Oh, that's fantastic. and I was just saying the other day that we've exhausted George W. Bush's comedic possibilities in terms of his own sort of unique approach to the American vernacular. And then, bam! A gift that keeps on giving, man. That's what he is.
He's very serious about the whole thing. Didn't flinch or anything.
And the fascinating thing about that, I mean, apart from the fact that he went to Yale, is, look,
Yes.
Well, okay. Here's the thing, is that, do you suppose he knew? I mean, it couldn't have been written that way, could it? They wouldn't do that to him. They wouldn't sandbag him that way by writing it that way, would they?
Result. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's just so serious looking, and he's reading it.
Oh,
so somebody's playing a joke on him.
In fact, God, can we, Sarah, are we able to record that somehow? Can we mini that?
Yeah.
Do we have a mini?
If you could find me a mini disc.
Oh, for the love of God, I'd love to be playing that like 1,000 times today during the show.
For the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
That's just fantastic. I can't believe that no one else has mentioned that.
Well, did that get on it as soon as possible.
Did it just happen? Did he just say that? Oh, this is breaking news then.
He came on at 11, straight up. In fact, CNN went straight to the live interview, and when that hit, I had to get a hold of you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, Scotty is going to be getting that. Thank you, Scotty. Cool. He'll be getting it off the internal skimmer, as they say. That, Steve, God bless you. Steve, how would you like a pair of Star Wars tickets?
Oh, I'd love it.
By God, I'm making an executive decision right now. Now, I'm doing this because we still hadn't given away Mondays. So we've got a pair for today, a pair for Thursday, and a pair for Friday. But we still haven't given away Mondays. By God, Steve, you're going to OMSI to see Star Wars, where science meets imagination. And you'll also pick up a copy of Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
All right.
God bless you, Steve. I'm going to put you on hold, and Scotty will get your info, okay?
Okay. I'll do that. I'll go on hold.
Can you play it one more time for us?
Here we go. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
Oh, it's like honey. It's like sweet buttery cream being poured into my ear canal.
It is, isn't it?
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
God bless you. Best audience ever. That is so great. February 30th. I'm not even... Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This guy who's on hold will get this call. He's like, that's the thing is, I don't even think... Okay, I think that's wrong in like 100 different ways. A, February 30th. And could it possibly have been written on the teleprompter that way? I mean, there's no way that his own advisors
maybe
would write
it was,
February
30th. Maybe it was 3rd or 13th.
No, because no February... Okay, it's impossible... Look, I'm not a financial controller. But it seems impossible that a fiscal year... How can the fiscal year end in February, first of all? Anyone? Does anybody, Tim, does the news department have any knowledge about when a fiscal year ends?
I don't even know what a fiscal year is.
I guess that's a no.
Oh, I don't know.
You actually shook your head. That was the best response. Well, let me get this here. Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi. Hey, that's pretty embarrassing. I work for the federal government, and the fiscal year actually ended September 30th. It has to do with, you know, a 12-month segment from when budget goes in to when the budget goes out. So it could be for any business. It could be for any given 12-month period of time.
Well, because you couldn't possibly... I mean, even September, if you're trying to calculate the fiscal year for the whole... I mean, that's pretty... You know, still another 3 months. But, I mean, February, that's insane. There's no...
Yeah.
So...
Our leader mistakes September for February. It could happen to anybody.
They don't even look the same. You could... I mean, September with December, maybe.
Yeah.
Moon and June. He's got to be reading that off something. And he's got to be reading it off a piece of paper. And I don't really know who looks down and sees the word September and mistakes that for February. They don't even look the same.
Well, I sure don't, and I work
gold.
For the government.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's fantastic. Well, let's break here. We'll come back. We'll take a couple of these calls. Later on, Lisa Goddard will be here. We'll talk about how we're going to give these Star Wars tickets away. Plus, we got the AM 970 Noon News Hour. It is all on the way, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Radio Program is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Scotty, should I be taken? Is this a little loud?
No.
This is like yesterday when I was... Is it a little warm in here? And he goes, no. And then it turns out the heat pump was broken. It was like 140 degrees. Those were good times. Yes, I know the audience has a volume dial, Scotty. That's one of my points.
He's got a little mouthy today.
He's gotten into a little back sass. He's a little uppity. He's claiming it was sarcasm earlier when he was... It's color. Thank you. When he was describing the audience participation as, quote, gripping radio. You got to use emoticons from now on, Scotty. That is now a rule. Scotty, she must use emoticons. Emoticons... don't get me started. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. You could... Why do I need to spell emoticon? For what purpose am I spelling... So you can look it up. I love a sweet holy God. All right.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, hello, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Don't you look at me in the
I see that you're...
you're looking at my clothes and, you know...
I see that your red T-shirt is matching the little red checks on your Nikes. Are those Air Jordans?
And those are his new jeans. Are those your Levi's?
Those can't possibly be new.
They are.
Those...
Yeah. And he's a big fan of the Levi's brand.
Well, that's a generational thing, though. All guys. And Scotty is not of my generation, but guys... How do I put this? I do believe, now this is wrong, I don't know what the kids wear these days. The kids all wear the Fat Farm or something. So there's a stopping point. In other words, it's not from like blank to blank, but there's a stopping point up to which all guys grew up loving Levi's. In fact, am I wearing Levi's now? No, I'm not, but I was yesterday. So, Levi's 501s especially. And I don't know if that's ever come back. It went away in the
90s. I love Levi's jeans. They're the only ones that fit me right.
Well, they look really... I mean, that's the thing. Is Levi's jeans, like 501s, on the right kind of Levi's jeans look really, really good on women. So I don't think they ever went away there. But in the 90s, for guys, Levi's went away because they were so closely associated with sort of like the butt rock kind of... with just, you know, kind of a trashy sort of New Jersey kind of look. And so they all went away. I think they've come back. I'm not really sure about that. But when I was in high school, man, it was... They have the coolest ad campaign, and I've gotten the sidetracked here, but this is, behold, you bastard, propsman Scott, even with Chris calling in today, I'm now sidetracked. There was the coolest ad campaign in the 80s. It was called the Levi's 501 Blues campaign, and it was like where TV commercials were all shot in like indigo. They were all shot like through a blue filter, and then they had, it sounds really lame and white when you talk about it now, but they had this kind of blues music soundtrack to all of them. They were really cool looking, very stylishly done.
Well, this is not about the Levi's. This is about the cards. All right. That's why I bought this shirt. And then I got another one.
I don't understand.
It's
because it's got a playing card.
Exactly.
On the
front of it. And then I had another shirt from Levi's, which was guitars. And it just so happened I was walking by the outlet one day.
You have brand loyalty to Levi's.
Well, no, he likes cards and guitars.
You're all man, Scotty. You must get laid constantly.
Yeah, they were blowing out these shirts. So
you're
going to
get one.
Cool.
You're going to make it a hat trick, get one with a beer on the front of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Get one that has like a car covered in flames and like a guy giving a thumbs up. Anyway,
right?
Okay. So, but I do have to ask this, though. But the clothes you're wearing now, are these all new-ish?
No.
When are those jeans from?
Like August.
But, I mean, they're from this year?
Yes.
We've had this discussion. Those are the same pants.
I thought that they were a different pair.
I wasn't going to wear them today, but, you know, it's laundry time.
Okay, thank you. Well, I can't... Look, I can't fault you
for
that.
I don't like this abuse, so I'm not going to wear them anymore.
I can't fault you for that. Sarah doesn't wash her hair most of the time, and I don't shower. So, I mean, and you don't change your clothes. So, there you go. We're the sexiest show ever.
Disgusting.
Tim's the only one who's clean. Tim's the only one who's ever clean and pressed. The rest of us are hideous. We're all like a bunch of Blutarskis in here. All right, anyway. Okay, before I even get to the Star Wars thing, which you're going to help with here in a second, what do you mean spell emoticon?
I'm sorry, I don't even know what that is. And I went
me?
To college, and I did well in English, but, you know,
okay, before
this show is making me not be able to spell anymore or something.
This show makes me no spell good.
Exactly.
This whole show is having like a Flowers for Algernon effect on you, where you're just, the longer you're here, the dumber you get.
Well, it could be there's too many listener parties or something, and I'm forgetting how to spell words.
Oh, you're not going to...
Senility is starting.
And you know what? We've got liners that are going to start playing with it for that Lycus thing, which is coming up, because the Lycus thing is only like 3.5 weeks away. I can already tell that you are all over that.
Talking
about the Lycus party.
He's going to be like heckling girls and whatnot.
No, he's actually, you missed it. He was bouncing up and down in his seat with childlike enthusiasm just now.
I'm a fan.
Is he your hero?
No, yeah.
Do you celebrate the guy's entire catalog?
I listen to him on a pretty regular
basis. Well, Mrs. J, what does Mrs. J think about that? What does she think
about
that?
Is she going to be going to Tom Likas with you?
She thinks he's a pig.
Well, you know, he is a polarizing figure. Now, as Sarah will attest, though, the weather one is like... First of all, he's the coolest guy, man. He's going to be here.
That's what I said.
He's going to be doing the show from our studios on Thursday, November 2nd, Tom Likas will. And then he's going to be doing the show... And this is what's cool, eh? This is the nationwide show, the live nationwide broadcast, live from Barracuda. Friday, November 3rd. And if you listen, we're going to be giving away, you know, like, kind of VIP and, you know, the backstage pay. You get to go back and meet him and everything. He's the coolest guy. You meet him and he's just, like, so smart and just, like, the most collected, together guy. And those shows are insane. I don't care, you know, fan, not a fan, whatever. If you were at the last one he did at Barracuda, the one that he did after that was... The venue, I think, did not anticipate the enthusiasm of the crowd, and so things sort of ended awkwardly. But man, the last one he did, Barracuda, was... I mean, I've never been at a riot or an orgy, but I mean...
Where'd that last word come from?
Having been... Sarah, you remember at the last one, and look, I'm not trying to encourage any sort of... I'm not trying to encourage any prurient behavior. I'm just saying... The last Likas party at Barracuda, and we're going to be talking a lot more about this. We're going to move on here, but we'll be talking more about this as we get closer to November 3rd, because he's going to be at Barracuda again. But we were sort of in the upstairs, kind of the balcony area, and I just remember looking down, and I mean, it was like, everywhere you went, it was just, I mean... endless, like, nude girls in the audience. And not like girls that they brought in, like, paid to be nude.
That's horrific.
You're horrified. I can tell you're appalled. No, it's girls who clearly looked in at 5:30. Well, time to be nude. And, like, and it's like, there's a boyfriend, like, yeah, you know, there's my girl. it was crazy. It really is quite. You really owe it to yourself to go just for the experience.
So he'll be here in Portland 2 days, and
he'll be doing his show from CBS Studios on Thursday here in Portland, and then from Barracuda on Friday.
That's
so
great. He talks highly of Portland. I've heard him talk about it.
He talks
a couple times. Yeah, I like it in Portland.
No, it's Portland. It's big.
Yeah, and then he finally refers to it as Portland. Yeah.
All right. So, what do you mean you don't know what an emoticon is?
I can take some guesses.
Guess
it's
now.
Some kind of way of letting you know emotion, you know, through words of some sort, some way.
That's just called talking.
Okay. I don't know.
Yes.
Honestly,
yes.
I wouldn't even know
how to
spell it.
Compare me to a summer's day, Scotty.
You know, if you can, I've been trying to use the dictionary.com thing.
Let me ask you this. Okay, wait. Hold on, Sarah. I've got a notion. Now I've got an idea. Exciting new contest for the people. You know, because I'm constantly envious of Don and Mike and their contesting ability. Have you heard that Don't Call Me Ass promo? Don and Mike did the... This is the portion of the show, by the way, where we just sort of do go all over the road, and then Lisa Goddard calls in and we get back on track. I'm going to work my way back to Scotty and do the Star Wars thing.
Okay.
Don and Mike did the best contest I have heard in like a year and a half. It's called Don't Call Me Ass. And the deal is you go through a fast food drive-thru with your cell phone, you know, the listener. And the deal is you have to answer everything. You have to answer all your requests at the drive-thru with the word ass. And you get $100 if you can get the person taking your order to say, don't call me ass. So it was a whole lot of like, you know, welcome to Wendy's. Can I take your order? Yeah, I'd like some fries, ass. And I'd like a quarter pounder with cheese, ass. And
what?
Yeah, and also a Frosty. Could you get me a Frosty and some extra napkins, ass? And then finally, the one's like, don't call me ass. And then that's like when you win $100. It was genius. It really, and it sounds so juvenile, and it is, but goddamn, it was funny. I laughed until I cried. I really did. Okay, Scotty.
Just
J.
When you think all the contests are,
I have been upfront about this, that I have always been envious of Donna Mike's contesting ability. They have the best contest ideas. Scotty J. Spelling Bee. No, but the deal is...
I'm going to flunk
that. No, but it won't be against a listener. It will be against a listener's child. There you go.
That's even
all right,
worse.
There you go. We're not going to do that right now, but later on this week,
or
perhaps
ever.
Tomorrow, we will give you your chance to win OMSI tickets. Your child will face off against Scotty J in a spelling bee.
Oh, man, that's pathetic.
We'll have to figure out the age of the child later. The
problem is I rely too much on spell check. But if
we've had this conversation. This stop there. We've had this conversation, Scotty.
Yeah, you're supposed to learn after you...
Spell check, if anything, should make you smarter. Don't you think, Sarah?
Yes, it should always be a success when you spell check your words and... It's all green.
And by,
I've had that before.
And, but not only that, think about, okay, let's say, Scotty, that you're on a typewriter. No spell check. Without spell check, you'd just be spelling words wrong your whole life and never know.
With spell like a Unabomber.
Okay, yes, but with spell check, it points out to you what it is and then tells you what the right spelling is.
And
spell
then you
check,
learn.
Spell check, people say that all the time, spell check has made me... No, spell check doesn't make you spell poorly. Being dumb makes you spell poorly. Not dumb, but dumb in the
Scotty's
sense of spelling.
Not
He's not dumb,
is
but you know what I mean? Being a bad speller makes you spell
badly. Right, but if you spell check it and you don't pay attention, you're just getting your...
Well, that's not the spell check's fault.
Right, it is a dumb thing.
Okay,
it is a,
if you can't dance, don't blame the floor,
okay.
Scotty. So spell check ought to make you smarter. So everybody out there needs to quit right now using that as an excuse for poor spelling, Scotty. How would you guess that you spell emoticon? Go.
I don't even know if it's an E or an I, but I'm gonna
emoticon spell
E M O D E C A U N.
Emoticon.
You see, here's the problem. If you don't
like Eric Cartman,
I'll tell you something. If you don't know how to spell the word and you like use dictionary.com or something, it won't be able to bring it up for you, and you'll never find it. So you got to be close at least, or you'll never find
God
the word.
Damn. All right, Scotty. We're going to embark... Okay, another bit. I'm going to do a word of the day with you. No, it's for
Maybe
your
own benefit. Maybe it'll make me smarter.
Scotty, as a popular radio commercial used to say, people judge you by the words you use. Your background, your education, even your intelligence, and the words you use say a lot about you.
Well, sometimes if you sleep all during school, your education is not quite like the actual piece
uh-huh.
of paper.
You think? Yeah.
Is that true, Sarah?
I like spelling.
Emoticon.
Emoticon.
Jesus Christ. All right. An emoticon. Never mind. We're too... I don't even have time now. I don't even have time. We have to bring you back,
you know,
next
how,
hour.
When you put...
Clan hat, curly hair, smiley
yeah.
face. You explain emoticon. I don't...
Emoticon, like if you put a smiley face after something.
Oh.
When you write an email.
Why don't you just say smiley face?
Because sometimes it's not a smiley face.
Sometimes Rick likes to put a clown hat.
Sometimes I like to send you a rose. All right, that's Lisa Goddard. We'll talk later. We'll bring you back next
right,
hour,
thanks.
And we'll talk about this Star Wars contest, Scotty. Thank you. Emoticon. D-E-C-A-U-N.
We really shouldn't make fun of him.
Oh, well, maybe we shouldn't, and maybe you
Can
won't.
Can we please do the spelling bee today,
Oh, we're
though,
totally.
Please.
All right. Well, we'll do that maybe later next, like maybe the second or third in the, like, 1 or 2 o'clock hour. It ought to be like a 10-year-old, too. I wonder what... Okay, but this raises so many other questions. Thank you, Scotty. This raises so many... This is Lisa. We'll get there in a second. This raises so many other questions. Like, what level do you suppose his spelling is at, grade-wise?
Maybe there's a test or something we can find to
please,
test what level.
Oh, please, holy God, let there be one.
Yes.
Please, sweet Jehovah.
There has to be.
Okay, stop, Scott. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and fantastic speller, I can just sense it, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
I'm a terrible speller.
That's not, now look,
horrible
don't
speller.
Don't let that one spelling bee experience ruin your whole self-image, Lisa.
You know, my boyfriend said his word was nickel.
Nickel?
That he missed, yeah.
Well, but that's one
I
of
missed
those...
trophy, and it still plagues me to
I-E?
This day.
Did you say I-E?
No, I said E-Y.
Well,
oh.
And nickel, though, you know, we've got that E-L-L-E thing. That can be a little difficult.
That's right. He was up in Maine, so maybe it was a French-Canadian.
Well, I mean, and it doesn't help sometimes. They'll throw a British word sometimes in there. And,
That's true.
Let me ask you this, Lisa. You seem like a smart cookie.
Oh, boy.
Why is it that we have Wednesday for Wednesday and February for February?
Yeah, how about that?
But, I mean, does anybody really know the answer to that? Because that actually does consume not a lot of my time, but a fair amount of my time.
You know,
I wonder.
I have
that.
A feeling your listeners know much better than I do, but I'm taking a stab. It must have to do with the Latin or the, you know, we've basically bludgeoned the original intent of the crafter of those days.
Yeah, I suppose.
But, you know, I'd like to point out, though, in Turkmenistan, the leader there has actually renamed the many of the months and days of the week after himself and his family.
So it's like Bob's Day, Dave's
right,
Day.
Exactly right.
Susan's
like,
Day.
Mom's Month, yeah.
Oh, that's so great. I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do that right here. That's part of my being maniacally powerful, as we discussed yesterday.
Exactly.
That was the best sound. Speaking of the best sound, before we talk about our new best friend, Mark Foley, I have to ask you this. Were you there when George W. Bush was discussing fiscal year 2006 just now?
Please. I wasn't there. I was here getting ready to talk to you, but I did, in fact, listen to it.
Oh, now did you hear him say the best thing that he said in weeks?
What are you referring to?
Now, do you know? Are you being coy?
I am being coy. Tell me what you're thinking of. Oh, we're getting an alert.
Uh-oh. I'll just stand here.
No,
it's fine. Is anything blowing up?
No, well, now that we're on air, I'm embarrassed I even said that. We've got this red phone here at CNN that...
Really? It's a red phone?
Yeah.
Is that where, like, when they need Batman to come? So what is the red phone for?
I'm just coming in on the end. It's something...
It's very exciting.
Yeah, I just caught the end of this, so I don't know.
So we could all be doomed. And
yeah, we could all be doomed, it looks like. I'm keeping everybody hanging on here. I don't know. It's something to do with some kind of court case that they're following that I'm not familiar with.
Well, okay. Well, I say live for today, regardless of what that news is.
Wait, so tell me what the president said. We've got to get back to that. You were leaving me hanging.
I actually didn't even hear. We had a listener because, as we've mentioned to Laura Caviezel, we don't have a studio that runs here or a TV that runs here in the studio because we're busy preparing for our fantastic award-winning, thrill-packed radio program.
Right, right.
And so a listener called up about 20 minutes after 11. Our time, so about the, I don't know, like 2:20 your time. And he said, hey, Rick, did you just catch Bush's speech about the fiscal, the situation? And I said, no. And he said, let me play you something. And he backed it up on his TiVo, and it was clearly coming right off the TV. It wasn't altered. Where Bush said, I have here the figures for fiscal year 2006, the year that just ended. And then he doubled, he said, these are the figures for the fiscal year ending February 30th, 2006. Now, that's wrong on at least two different levels. One of them embarrassingly so. The other one, I think, just turned... Because, A, doesn't the fiscal year end in September? And, B, I'm pretty sure that we haven't added yet another day to February. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. George W. Bush seems to be sort of, I don't know, sort of passing laws willy-nilly these days. So has he just sort of gone all Claudius on us and just begun adding things to the calendar?
Yeah, you're dead on about the February date there.
Yeah, that's really...
You've got a good listener, because I was listening and I didn't catch the little slips there.
Now, here's the thing. This is the sort of the canary in the coal mine. This is what we're going to be... I was talking to Tim Riley, our news director, about this. This is what I'm going to be checking. I'm going to be curious to see whether all the major news organizations, whether they show that or whether they edit around it. Do you, and I hate to put you on the spot about this, but do you know...
Oh, great. I'm putting it out now. I'm going to find that and put it out.
Is there a... Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Can you say spotted by Rick Emerson? Eagle-eyed audience. Yes. Is there sort of an unspoken, unofficial, like, well, let's not put anything he says that's too stupid on television policy?
No, definitely not. I think that... You don't want that to get in the way of the news, but I think stuff like that, they'll put out. But neither do we want to be accused of Bush bashing. But if it's something that's sort of flagrant, I know they'll chew on it. But with the fiscal year, the deal is that the federal fiscal year ends at the end of September. So he was right about that.
All right. Well, but he said February, though, is my point.
Well, then he shifted it right.
So he said this is for the fiscal year that ends February 30th, 2006. So, yeah, we played that.
I guess he must have meant maybe it was quarterly data at that point. I'm not really sure. That's not even the quarter, though. I have no idea what that could have been.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Must have been October. I have no idea. And then October has, of course, more, or September. Yeah.
Yeah,
it must have been. Very strange.
And it's like, I understand maybe you confuse September, December, maybe. They look the same,
the
same
September,
syllables.
September, February? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even look the same on the page. Now, I wish we had it to play here, but the problem is we were not, unfortunately, rolling tape, and we won't have it until about 12:05, so you will be gone at that point. But I'd play it for you.
I just don't know where it was that he said that.
What was that guy's name? Steve? In fact, I'll tell you what, Steve, if you are listening, because again, our internal skimmer won't cough it up for about another 15 minutes, and then we'll have it. But in the meantime, Steve, you got the, a couple minutes here before we let Lisa go. If you happen or are able to call up and replay that here.
This is good for the conspiracy theorists, too, that Steve's helping, because if in February we say, oh, attack Syria or Iran, we'll know when Bush was thinking about it.
Was it. Subliminal, yes.
It was Freudian slip. It was on his mind now.
All right, so Steve or anybody, if you have that, it's 503-733-2970. You got just a little scotia before we leave this go. So anyway, but the question is, and then we'll actually talk about this so-called news that you're
right.
calling about.
What do you call news?
But my whole thing is, like, how does he say that? Because he couldn't possibly have been sandbagged by somebody on his own, like, advanced team that wrote that on the teleprompter, could they? They don't dislike their jobs that much.
They're just punch drunk over there at the White House. Hey, let's see what we can get him to say.
It just means that either he'll say anything that's put on the teleprompter and somebody decided to take advantage of that fact, or B, he honestly just can't read. So he has the Scotty J syndrome of really, he just sort of looks down and just kind of guesses at the word, you know, whatever it might be.
He just takes a stab. I know it's a month.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get in, I do think we have somebody here with the sound, but we'll get back to that in a second. I guess, as far as Mark Foley goes, where are we now? I know that the FBI, what is it, they're meeting with a page, or they're meeting with the page? It's so hard to keep track.
You've got all kinds of investigations. I'll try and break it down. You've got an FBI investigation. They met with Jordan Edmonds. He's that former page from Colorado, who had the most salacious, reportedly, communications. Now, he individually has not confirmed publicly that those were his emails, but it's widely known that he was the one who had the MAF-52, I think it was, conversations.
Yes.
And so he sat down with the FBI yesterday, 2.5 hours. Meanwhile, the FBI is getting ready to interview other people involved. But the trick for the FBI investigation is it's not clear what the federal crime here was necessarily. It's possible maybe some interstate communications. They're looking into that. But the age of consent in Washington, D.C. is 16 years old, and that's the minimum age for the pages. So it's not clear. They're not sure what they would charge Foley with.
What I have sort of heard, and I'm not a lawyer, I've been told that the internet age of consent, though, because it is an electronic communication and it crosses lines and all that, is 18. Period.
That's an interpretation, right? And that's what they're looking at. But I think the FBI, the Justice Department, and FBI feel like they have the least solid case, and it's possible that Florida may have a stronger case, or it's also possible that really the House Ethics Committee is the one that's going to take the lead here. Of course, there's nothing they can do to Foley because he's already...
All good things do come from Florida, just so you know. And by good, I mean terrible.
Meanwhile, the House Ethics Committee is now interviewing people who say they were aware of this and asking who they told. They're really getting into this issue of who knew what when, how much did the Speaker of the House know, how much did he do about it? And so they're going through and talking to these various Republican congressmen who say they had an inkling, they knew, they saw. And it's really tricky because House Speaker Dennis Hastert has said that he had no idea about this at all until about 2 weeks ago. His staff is saying they were just told a few months ago themselves, but people are saying they told Hastert themselves.
Yeah, what else is he going to say? I mean, that's right. The thing where you kind of have to lie. I mean, that's like if you have pocket aces. You just have to play. I mean, you have to say that first.
Well, it's amazing. His number two in charge, John Boehner, has already said, no, I told you. I personally told you last spring about it. And he's like, no, you didn't. and then now Hastert's office, or now Boehner's office, is saying, well, you're going to have slight disagreements over a conversation.
Yes.
Trying to spin it like this is not a major disagreement.
Good
well,
God.
One of them saying they had this conversation, the other is saying they didn't.
By the way, should you be asked in the future, Wednesday is taken from the Teutonic word for Woden's Day.
Oh, fantastic.
Woden, W-O-D-I-N, apostrophe S, Woden's Day, and Woden is father figure in the Norse pantheon. So there you go.
Did Scotty come up with that?
No. What do you think?
Because
no.
I would have explained a lot about his spelling.
No.
That's from... basing everything on the Teutonic.
That is from our listener, Diana.
Oh,
so,
well done, Diana. That's great.
All right. Real quickly, this is Steve. Hello, Steve?
Yeah, it's me again.
Do you have the George Bush sound?
Actually, I do, and I also put it on MP3, so I will be emailing it to you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right,
Lisa,
you
prepare
ready?
Yourself. This is George Bush speaking about an hour ago.
This morning, my administration released the budget numbers for fiscal 2006. These budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
Bam! There you go. There you go.
That is fantastic.
That's a little gift to you from we, the Rick Emerson Show and listeners, Lisa.
Man, I appreciate it. See, I thought my top Bush moment came earlier today, but it's definitely been outscored now. But when Bush, in his news conference this morning, said, you know, basically started asking himself questions, saying, I thought you were going to ask this. Well, I'll ask myself this. And then, you know, and then he said, I'm going to ask myself a follow-up question. And here's my follow-up question.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, it was fantastic. He did, in fact. He said, this is my follow-up question to myself.
Please tell me that there's sound on that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there is.
I'll be checking the CNN site for that.
All right. I'll see when I need to go.
Thank you. Steve, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Lisa, as well. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. All right, thank you, Lisa. We'll talk to you soon. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, correspondent on the Hill. Excellent. Best show ever. Take Brett, come back with the AM 970 Noon News Hour and your personal savior, Tim Riley. Stay there. Back after this right here on the Rick Emerson, the radio program.